I had lunch yesterday. Here it is. It's not. You good? All right, there we go. All right, so yeah, I had lunch yesterday with my daughter. She's headed back to IU. Well, she already headed back to IU, and she's in her second year down there. And you know, we got a chance to catch up on some. Kind of got to vent to one another, kind of like where we are in our walk with God and just in our walk with just overall in general. And it was, it's hard sometimes as a parent when you hear that your daughter's struggling. But you know what? We all struggle. So that was kind of like the heart of the message was like, yeah, I'm kind of struggling myself. But as much as we try to make ourselves comfortable in this world, we all know that that's just a momentary state that we'll find ourselves in. And once we do find some sense of peace and comfort, we usually find ourselves struggling or in some form of conflict soon after. And so this season of my life has been, we've been really blessed as a family, you know, very, very blessed in many ways, you know, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of struggles. Recently, I had some issues with an extended member of my family. They were in a tough, tough spot. I mean, very tough. Some of it was their own doing, and some of it was the doing of someone else. And, you know, I love this person very dearly. And, you know, it really pained me that I couldn't do more to intervene, to fight for this person, you know, to fight with this person through what they were going through. My wife was away when I received news of what was going on. And, I mean, the first emotion that I felt was anger. But my wife always tells me anger is a secondary emotion. And so, you know, I looked in there and it was a little fear in there, you know, in my heart. And I was overwhelmed with this flooding sensation of emotion. And I don't know if you've ever been there before, if you've like just been flooded. You know, I've studied psychology a little bit myself, and, you know, we literally can be flooded with certain hormones, and it can overtake our minds and our bodies, and we can just not know what to do. We can not know what to say. And some of us, we go in the fight mode right away, be it verbally, be it calling people, be it fighting physically, be it throwing things. Some of us go into these fits. And, you know, I was trapped in this cocoon of anger and fear. And, you know, I was really, it was tough. And so I vented to my wife what was going on, and I talked to a few other family members, and I went upstairs, and I was just kind of staring in the mirror, and I was talking to God, and, you know, he spoke a word to me, and he said, you know, the battle is not yours, you know, and I just felt this sense of peace and calm, and it didn't just go away right after that. I mean, it went up and down. Like, one moment I would be okay. That was not it's not mine, it's the Lord's. And I was good, you know, and then maybe 30 minutes later, I'd be upset again. And I'm like, so I had to keep on, it was just in and out. So like for days, I went in and out, in and out. And every time I spoke to my wife about it or my mom about it, like, I would get angry again. Or I would become fearful again. And I'm like, man, God, like, everything's going so well. And this just came out of nowhere. And He was teaching me something. And I was like, oh, let me go to Scripture and find that word. You know, we've heard that before in songs. And so I was like, let me go to Scripture and see what God has to say in the text when he says the battle is not yours, but God's. And so I did that. And, you know, I started studying this earlier this week. And it was good. It's good. And it's one of those portions of Scripture that I think I'm gonna stick with it for a while in this season, this cold season that we're in. And from what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing, I see that some of you are relating to me, listening to you, Christine. You know, my heart goes out to you. Stay strong, and I know it will. That reading and praying is essential, as we'll see. When I came this morning, I asked God, I said, okay, what am I coming to do today? I'm going to ask the same question to you, God. God is asking us, what are we here to do today? You know, worship. All right. And it's different reasons. I come to church for different reasons sometimes, if I can be honest with you. Sometimes it's out of obligation. Sometimes it's because I need a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's to worship. And I'd always be to worship. But sometimes, you know, I come to church for self-centered reasons. You know. And as I was driving in today, God was like, make sure that, you know, the central reason is me. Not just the help that you need, not just the comfort that you need, not just the peace that you need, not just the word that you need, but that it's me. And, you know, day to day, not just here in amongst you today, but every day, he was like, just seek me. And I have been praying. I've been praying for my wife. I've been praying for this church. I've been praying for our country. I pray, but God says, you're not praying enough. And you're focusing, you're saying thank you, but you're focusing more on the help than you are on me. And I'm the one that you need. I'm the life. I'm the bread. I'm the sustenance of all that you need. So he's revealing a lot to me in that area. But we're going to be, hopefully you brought your Bibles today, because, you know, Andre, I like using technology a lot. You probably can't tell, but I do. And usually I create PowerPoint slides, nice ones, pictures and all of this stuff. But and you got the screen here and everything. I can bring my clicker. You probably got one back there. It'd be all good. Like, that's normally my style of teaching. I love doing it. But I don't know. I got a funny feeling like I'm just coming in here with Bible and paper with y'all, you know. So so make sure if I'm ever scheduled to preach, just know most of the time I'm going straight to the Bible. So make sure you have your Bibles with you. And today, there's some instruction from the Lord today. So paper and pencil would be good, too. He gave me some specific instruction found right here in the text. And it's powerful. And it's one of those topics that I understand in my head and in my mind, and I apply it sometimes, but I haven't obtained it yet. So, but it's good. It's real good. So we're going to be in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Well, y'all don't hear that too often. We're in 2 Chronicles. So. And I can tell you, it was, when I went into it, I'm like, oh man, this is some heavy lifting I got to do this week, but it wasn't bad once I moved myself out of the way. And my brother Chris over there, he reminded me last time I was here, he was like, man, thank God it doesn't depend on us to do this. So I appreciate that, because it's been ringing in my mind even till now. So thank you. So we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse. We're just going to start at chapter 20, verse 1. And if I can give you a theme, a central topic for today, all right, it would be fighting well in overwhelming circumstances. I know that's kind of long, you know, but it's, as a topic, fighting well in overwhelming circumstances. Fighting well when the enemy comes in like a flood. You know, the Bible says he will raise up a standard, but sometimes you're like, where is that? Because I'm flooded right now. There's nothing that I can do. So fighting well. So here we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to be reading about King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat was, he's actually king of the southern kingdom of Israel. I'm not going to get all the way into the history, but essentially the kingdom had broken in pieces. He had a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom had the 10 of the tribes, and the southern kingdom had Judah and Benjamin. So they had two tribes down there. And Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom. This is where Jerusalem, this is where the sanctuary was at. And so he had recently kind of went against what God, not kind of, he did. He went recently went against what God wanted him to do and fought with King Ahab, the king of Israel. And God didn't like it. And he sent a prophet to Jehoshaphat and said, God's about to get you. Luckily for Jehoshaphat, he was blessed to be one of those kings that sought the Lord often. He didn't do everything right, but he did a lot of great things. And he repented of his wrong. He established court systems and turned everybody's heart back to God. And so this is where we are right now in chapter 20, to kind of just provide a little context for you. So chapter 20, verse 1, it said, it happened after this. That's what I just got done telling you about. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. You know, I found it strange that it wouldn't say they came to fight the tribe of Judah or the people of Judah or the people of the southern kingdom. The chronicler wrote that they came for battle against Jehoshaphat. It's interesting because if you read more of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, man, God was literally blessing the people during this era. They blessed Jehoshaphat's hand. Some of his enemies that are now coming to attack him, they were bringing him gifts. And now they are coming against him. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. So I want to break a couple of these things down. I ain't even opened up my notes. I don't know if I'm gonna need them, but as I was talking to you about those overwhelming circumstances today, I heard circumstances about health. I heard circumstances about peace. I sense even in myself. Just making sure that I keep my mind in a more godly, away from more of a, I sense a depressed spirit. I don't know where it is, and maybe it's in me, you know what I'm saying? Maybe someone's struggling with it. But these overwhelming circumstances have marked this period of time in the lives of many that I know. Many that I know. And a lot of people are trying to hide it from others. Some don't know where to turn. And so things were doing well at one point in time, and then something happened, and then something else happened, and it just seemed like the enemy just kept coming in. And right here, we can learn from Jehoshaphat as the Ammonites and the Moabites and some people in the hill country, they're coming against him, and they came across the sea, meaning that they've been planning this for a long time. They were the Edomites. I wish I had a map now. They were on one side of the Mediterranean Sea, and then, so they came all the way across. So this wasn't a happenstance. They didn't just get up one morning and say, "Hey, let's go attack." This was a plot. I was dreaming. I was meditating upon my message last night, and I was laying in my bed, kind of just out, waking up in and out. And literally, I told my wife, I had dreams that demons was after me last night. Like, literally, monsters, demons, you know, in my dreams. Chasing me all over the place. And I had something in my hand that they wanted. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was this contraption that allowed me to see where they were, how many there were, and where they were coming from. It was crazy. You know, it was an interesting little dream. You know, the enemy is coming. I don't know what that means for you. Or maybe the enemy is already at Engedi. Engedi is already in Jehoshaphat's land. They are 15 miles away from the city where they are right now. And he receives message that they are on the way. He had a garrison of troops there, so I'm sure that they sent someone back. Have you received a message lately that's bothering you, that's troubling you? Does it seem like there's something impending that's down the line that's kind of causing you to fear a little bit, that's maybe causing some anger? Well, if it's not right now, it's coming soon. It usually does. And sometimes, and when that message comes, if you look closely at verse 2, It says, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you. Now, if you look at this through earthly eyes and an earthly perspective, it is a great multitude. It's 2.5 nations, so to say. Jehoshaphat had an army of over 300,000 men. So, if a great multitude was coming against him, you're talking maybe 500,000 or more people that's about to come against him. In the eyes of man, when we look from earth up to heaven, when we're down here, it looks like a great multitude. When I received a phone call from my mom and I received news of what was going on in my family, it felt like it was overwhelming. It felt like my family was under attack. It felt like it was this huge thing. And it's not that it went down in size, it's just that my God is so much bigger than that circumstance. But when I'm focusing up close on the issue, on the problem, it looks big. But when I step back and I say God, and I see God, and it's like a puny, itty, bitty. So be careful when people come to you and bring you messages of trouble. Some of you have a messenger maybe from Satan tormenting you, giving you just whispering little things inside of your mind that's causing you, that wants you to doubt that God is going to do what He has promised to do. Healing may come now or healing may come in the next life. But God is going to do, He's going to fulfill His promise. Well, I was telling my wife the other day, I'm like, man, I really want this thing to work out the right way. But God brought me to a place where even if it doesn't work out, I'm good. And I love that place. God reassured me. He's like, this ain't going to last forever. Whether I take it away now or I take it away in the future, God. And my promises remain sure. So verse 2, it says, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. There's that fear. Fear oftentimes veils itself as anger. Fear often veils itself as depression. Fear often comes and it causes a response in us that's normal. Everybody know the name of the response is called fight or flight, right? Some of us are fighters, some of us are runners. And I've been both. What circumstances is causing you to, and when I mean run into your bedroom and sleeping all day. I mean shutting others out from your life, which sometimes that's okay, but when you're shutting them out, are you getting along with God? Right here, Jehoshaphat he's afraid, and that's a normal human response, but his next response isn't normal. His next response isn't normal. It says he set himself to seek the Lord, and if you read it in the Hebrew, it means he beat a path to the Lord. Think about this for a second now. Put yourself in that situation when you were overwhelmed. Remember, we're looking at fighting well in overwhelming circumstances. In overwhelming circumstances. In 2009, when I was living in and out of the church, living my life the way I wanted, and I lost my job and I had a wife and kids to take care of. Overwhelming circumstances. Overwhelming. When my wife was in the hospital about a week after Anna was born, doctors didn't know what was going on. They're running tests, and I'm at home, nowhere near the grace that God gave my wife to take care of this baby by myself, and the baby's nursing. So I'm going back and forth, taking milk from the hospital back to the house. Overwhelming circumstances. Overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. I was up every 2 hours. I'm like, is this what women been going through since the beginning of time? And it's a shame that I had to learn it on kid number 5, and my hat goes off to you. Where Chris go? Overwhelming circumstances. He set himself. If I could stop right here, and then this one thing, this one truth right here might be enough for you today. This one truth. It said he set himself to seek the Lord. He was rooted in it. When the enemy came in his mind, he took every thought captive. He had all of these thoughts. He's a king. He's a king. He has all types of things, all types of people he's responsible for. He's responsible not only for his land. The temple of God is there. And then he just heard from a prophet that God was about to punish him. So it was like, whoa. He set himself to seek the Lord. Make sure you jot that down. First came fear, natural human response. Instead of fighting or flighting, he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, I've fasted before in my day, and you know, sometimes I breeze through these words. Oh, yeah, I fasted before. I know what it is. You know. I think I went 3 days, just water one time. And it was a great spiritual experience, and you know, it was good. But when I looked deeper into what it meant, when he proclaimed a fast, it used to take them hours to prepare food and do all the things that were necessary in this day and age to prepare food. God wants us, when the enemy comes in like a flood and there's these overwhelming circumstances, he doesn't necessarily want you to fast. That's not the instruction. The instruction is some of the mundane things that you're used to doing need to be put aside. They need to be stopped. Yeah, go ahead and eat. But we need to maybe stop watching TV. Maybe we need to not go to poker night. Maybe we need to not do some of these extras and really, really focus on, yeah, the problem, but on how large God is. Wait, he's going to show you what happened when he called this fast, because he proclaimed the fast to everybody and he called all the people to the temple. Verse 4, so Judah gathered together, Judah, the whole nation, gathered together. Two reasons. That's why I asked you why you were here today. Two reasons. To ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Separate. Separate. Don't clump those two together. Seek. Ask help. Seeking him, the God of the universe. We're about to get into it. Look at this. Verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the earth? I'm going to read this again. I'm going to see if you're with him. Because you got to become Jehoshaphat in this thing. You have to understand who this. He has humbled himself. He's a king and he's come before his people. And he is making prayer and supplication before his God. O Lord God of our fathers, the one who has been with us, the one who has brought us through all of these circumstances, the one who has brought us right here to this spot, to where we are in the land that you've promised us, the one who gave me this family, the one who gave me this vehicle, the one who gave me this job, the one who gave me this church, the one who gave me this my wife, the one who gave me my extended family, the one who brought us to the place to where we all believe in you. God, this is the one that I'm talking to you. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not in heaven? Who is he talking to? At first I'm like, man, who is this guy talking to, man? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one can withstand you, including this enemy that's on our shores? Are you not in charge up there? Are you not reigning over this circumstance? I'm like, man, I'm reading through this. I'm like, man, it sounds like he kind of reminds God of something. I'm like, man, but God knows everything. And Beth was like, remind? He can't remind God. And I'm like, that's right, Psalm. It's got to be something deeper than this. He says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, verse 8, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name. What was he saying? So I dug deeper, and it actually does, in Scripture, tell us to remind God. I'm going to look at it. It is Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Go on over there, Journey to the Prophets real quick. Isaiah 43. I'm going to go to Isaiah 43, verse 20. I'm going to start at 25. I like it just because I like 25. All right. Isaiah 43, verse 25. It says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. You would think it would say for our sake. But no, God says, I have blotted out your transgressions for my sake. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. That is His intention towards mankind. It has been His intention since the very beginning. And it will never change. God hasn't changed His intention toward us. Verse 26, though, it says, put me in remembrance. My Bible has a capital M because of the Hebrew and how it looks in there. But it says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Jehoshaphat brought his case. Have you brought your case before God? Are you not the God who brought me this child? So you know I need some sleep at night. I missed you when you walked out of here, so I had to give you a little, you know, I'm with you, brother. So let's go ahead and go back to 2 Chronicles. So he's given us a blueprint on how to come before God. He's reminding us first of who God is. When the enemy comes in like a flood, that's the very first thing. When fear strikes, you have to retrain your mind to take captive every thought. Who is our God? Think about it for a second. Wrap your mind around that. Forget my message. Let's wrap our minds around this great God that we serve. Look at how far He has brought us today. Like, if He doesn't do anything else for us and He just stops, today He's good. Look at what He has done for us. Look at who He is. So when we go in, like, how do I pray? You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to pray just like Jehoshaphat. You don't have to be poetic. Just wrap your seat, set yourself on solid ground and seek the Lord. And the way that you seek the Lord is you get into the Word and then you start looking like, oh, He did that? That's the same God that's got your back. That's the same God that's brought your family in the circumstance. He's allowed these circumstances to come in. Even if you brought some of these consequences that's coming, God did not send these consequences to destroy you, but to strengthen you. Whose possession is it? Look at this verse. Look at verse 9. This is something from earlier. It says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is in this temple. Now it was Judah. Sometimes we look at our house. Sometimes we look at our relationships. Sometimes we look at our jobs and we look at it as ours. See, his mind is shifting now. This is God's possession. Fairhaven is God's church. You gotta shift it because now when you shift, and this is God's union. Me is me, God, and Beth. This is God's relationship. This is God's kids. This is God's family that I'm worried about. And God, I know that you're not about to let this happen in your family. Will we, verse 9, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, will we stand? We will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. God hears you. He hears you. He hears you. He wants that closeness, though, more than your comfort. Because He knows exactly what you need. If God allowed us to be comfortable all the time, we wouldn't seek God. If we didn't have no problem, it's that our hearts, because of the sin that's in us, we have this nature that kind of like drifts and does our own thing. Me, I'm very self-sufficient. It's not good. God is working on that, and He keeps pushing me down like, you ain't self-sufficient. Even me saying it, He's like, no, you're not. You just think you are. But like, I feel like I got to do everything myself. My wife telling me something, all right, I'm going to go fix it. All right, what, you know, and I'm getting better, right? I'm getting better, right? I'm not trying to fix everything, right? I'm learning, guys, in my not to try to fix everything. Verse 10, and now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. This is the key. And it's keys all over this thing. I'm telling you, if you missed it the first time when I said that he set himself to seek the Lord, here's another key for you. I will write this one down. I don't usually write in my Bible, but I started underlining stuff. It's in pencil, you know what I'm saying? But I had to start underlining stuff in here. So if I'm ever flipping through these pages or my son is ever flipping through these pages, look right here. Look right here, son. If you ever come over here to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. All right. It says, we have no power against this great multitude. You have to understand. You don't have power, Christine. We got to understand. Like, us, as smart as we are, as educated as we are, as much as we've been through, as good as we look, we don't have enough power over this great multitude. God already knows that we're going to lose. He allowed it to come for His glory. That is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. Has anybody ever been there before? When you're just super overwhelmed, and like if you could just press a button, you would take yourself out of that circumstance. Not even that you would change the circumstance, but you would stop feeling the way you feel. Have you ever been in a place where you can't stop it? You're crying, or you're scared, or you're depressed, and like, God, I just want to stop feeling this way. Like, I want to stop being afraid. I want to stop doubting you, and you can't get out of there? Set yourself to seek the Lord and acknowledge it. Man, I don't have power. I don't have power over this great multitude. And I definitely don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. And I'm getting close to getting done, but this thing is so good to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Because sometimes, a lot of times, she was talking about when Jesus was walking on the water, they saw the storm. But Jesus was in the midst of the storm. Where was Peter's eyes when he was walking? It was on Jesus. Man, when I think about battles and wars, I think about Jehovah Nissi, the place where Moses was when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites, and he had his staff in the air. And as long as the staff was lifted up, the Israelites won. When his arms came down, they started getting beat. We got to lift him up. Man, I love seeing your hands up, brother. We got to keep showing that to our young people because they're starting not to lift them hands anymore. When we come before his presence, we sing, we rejoice, we lift him up, and we keep our eyes on him. It's counterintuitive to the human nature. We want to search, oh man, who can I call? What I got in my pocket? You know, it's human nature to do that, but God wants us to set ourselves to seek Him. I'm telling you, I don't know who this is for, but God wants us to set ourselves. God is trying to take all of us to a new place in our faith. No one in here, we still breathing, we haven't obtained it yet. We have to keep on pressing. Some of you just starting to drift, just get off center just a little bit. That's what it always starts, is just a little bit. Today, God is saying, set yourself to seek me. Acknowledge that you don't have the power to do this thing. You think you know what to do. Many are the plans in the man's heart, but it's the God's purpose and plan that prevails through this thing. Now with all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. So the whole nation is there. Sometimes you got to get more people involved in your circumstance. The right people, though. Not just anybody. True prayer warriors. You can get you, because when two or three are gathered in His name, whatever you ask will be done for you. And God also talks about when you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I don't know. I'm just claiming it as it is. You know what I'm saying? That's just what the Word says, and God can't lie. So I'm like, man, I need to surround myself. Husbands, pray with your wives. I'm preaching to myself right now. Set yourself to pray with your spouses. Not just for 5 minutes. Set yourself just for a season. When you start to feel yourself being overwhelmed. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benahiah, and the son of Jeiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. You, King Jehoshaphat. He says, listen up. Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, this is where we're messing up. I can tell you, I'm going to digress a little bit, and I'm going to speak from my experience in what they call, quote unquote, black church. All right. I grew up Baptist. True love, friendship, Baptist church, black church. We went hard. They used to go hard in there. Everybody feel good, shouting hands, boy. Enemy was defeated until we walked out of that sanctuary. You know what I'm saying? Enemy was defeated in the sanctuary, though. I'm telling you what. I seen it in my parents, my mom. Set free. I used to be a little kid. Like, oh, there she is going crazy again. You know what I'm saying? And I used to be pumped, like, Mom said we set free, boom, you know, cool, everything's good. And then we get home and thought we were set free. I thought everything was good. But then, you know, a friend, you know, well, somebody I really didn't know but became a friend, I helped plant a church, multi-ethnic church here in Fort Wayne. And I got to experience, you know, another denomination, non-denominational, but restoration movement. And I got to experience, they weren't shouting as much. They weren't delivered right there in the service. But what I saw was this group of people working, like, to really, like, get things done. And I'm like, whoa, I'm kind of weighing this thing out. Like, I like this side, too. I like that. Everybody liked that feeling, that overcoming, that encouragement. But then, you know, there's some instructions that come that follow. And the encouragement is supposed to push you into taking action. Consistent action. Like, not just that day, not just that week, and not by yourself. With the people of God and with God moving forward. So that's, you know, that's where really God has me now. And He gives them instructions in verse 16. He says, tomorrow go down against them. He just said they're not going to fight. Well, God, why we got to go down there? That's what I'm saying. Why we got to go down there then? That's what I would have been thinking. They will surely come up by the ascent of Z's. He tell them, this is where they're going to come. Remember, I had a little contraption in my brain. I got y'all. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Here it goes again. Position yourselves. Where are we positioned at? Position yourselves. God has given us some specific instructions in this text. Position, I'm telling you, write it down. Set yourself to seek the Lord. Acknowledge that you don't have power over these circumstances. Man, if He ain't given us some instructions today, understand that we don't know what to do. It's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. He says, position yourselves. Stand still, but they're still there. And see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And the people, they did it. The next morning, Jehoshaphat, they get up early in the morning, and Jehoshaphat gets up. He says, remember, believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. And this is what he says is going to happen. I love the promises. The promises are always good to me. He says, and then you will be established. Go look up established in Google. It's a good feeling. Established. Don't ever, like, we sometimes we even take the English language for granted. He says you will be established. Ooh, it's good. It's good. Then he says, let me flip. Believe in His prophets. Believe what you read in here. Believe the word that's coming for you today. Believe it, set yourself on it. And when the enemy comes in and tries to cause doubts in your mind, God says, believe in the Lord because of who He is and what He's already done. This is all of His stuff anyway. He has power over all the nations. And He wants to see you do well. And He says, believe in His word and you will prosper. And He sent a choir out in front of them. And they began singing a song. And they said, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. This was good for me. It was a good. You can get down and literally, I'm telling you, you can get in here and stand there for a few days. I'm telling you because I've been in there for a few days. So they're standing there and they're looking out and they're watching the enemy come, and the two main nations begin attacking the hill country people. As soon as they started singing and praising, and then after that, those two nations attacked each other and they all died that day. And the enemy was defeated. Oh man, it's too good to be true. Take captive every thought. 2 Corinthians. We got to run to 2 Corinthians real quick. We got to, because I'm telling you, this thing brought me through. This thing brought me through when I thought it wasn't going to be, when I couldn't get beyond myself and I was trapped in my own emotions. And I was trapped in my own behaviors. These two verses brought me through this thing, and I got to share them with you. This is what I stood on. I'm telling you, for like 8 months, I stood on these two things, and man, God did the supernatural. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He did the supernatural because we don't war against flesh and blood. It looks like it. It looks like we're warring against flesh and blood, but really we're in this spiritual war that's controlled by spiritual forces of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 and 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, this is it, here it is, bringing every thought. How many? Every. Bringing every thought. How many? Every. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, brother. Every thought. And when it keeps coming in, you're going to want, but I got to think about. No, you don't. You ain't got to think about work. God's going to open up a door for you, and he's going to make sure the work get done. I got to focus on the highway. No, you don't. You got to focus on Christ. He's going to get you there. I'm telling you. He said, every thought, take it captive. Somebody, I'm telling every thought. This brought me through, faith. It brought me through. This is my testimony. It brought me through when I thought that I was lost. Take captive every thought. As we enter into this time of communion, I love communion because God gave us this set time. Even though we should be doing it all the time, he said, just in case y'all done forgot. Just in case you got these overwhelming circumstances, you got to remember, I came down from heaven. Because I care, because I love you, because I wanted to make sure that you had access to eternal life. And it's not just eternal life. It's life more abundantly here. That's that joy. That's that peace. He wants us to have it in the struggle. Here's Luke chapter 22. I'll share a scripture with you before we pray and break the bread. Deal with it. Yeah, Luke chapter 22, verse 19. It said, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And gave it to them, saying, this is my body which was given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when we focus on the body of Christ, we have to first realize that God, the Son of God, he came down to earth. He had a body in the first place. He had a body. Just consider that. Because nothing that you're going through is out of his scope, is not out of his range, is not out of his power. Because he came, we have access. And he says, likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is said for you. And I love that he refers us to the new covenant, because back in the Old Testament, that was under the old covenant. We have better promises. In greater fulfillment and prosperity and abundance. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about peace and joy and the hope of glory. These individuals, they ain't know Jesus. They knew Yahweh. They didn't know Jesus. We know Christ, the one who came. And during this time, let us pray. Let us give thanks. Let us confess if we need to confess. Let us repent if we need to repent. If there's somebody that you need to apologize to, do it. Why wait? Tomorrow's not promised. If there's a child or a sibling that you've been meaning to reach out to, do it. Christ died for us. He didn't die for us to have a life of doubt and shame. And let's leave today here without any regrets. Let's give thanks. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the reminder that you are God. We thank you for the sacrifice that you laid down for us, Father God, once and for all. We thank you for the instructions that you've given. Lord God, help us to walk boldly in your word, in obedience to your will. Teach us to do it, Father God. Help us to take captive every thought. Teach us what it means to set ourselves to seek you. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.